All right, buddy, welcome in. Latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And that is Cousin Shane jumping right into the intro there, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What's up, yo, Tizzy, over?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, late to the party, but at least we made it. You know what, Shane?
Yes, absolutely, brother. It's like one thing after another. We're trying to make this thing better, and I appreciate everybody on the YouTube live. We're trying to get those likes up, you know. That's a big deal, apparently. So if you give us a – close the chat down, give us a thumbs up, that would mean a lot to us. The subscriptions are going through the roof, Mike. We're almost there. We're almost to that 20K already.
Right. We're getting there, brother. And now it is officially the end of spring football in the SEC. So what do we like to do, Shane? Power rankings. I'm going to update these every week during the offseason if I could. But it's always a fun conversation, Shane. We had a number of spring games. We're going to recap all those as we go through the power rankings. But before we get rolling, how you doing, buddy? And we cannot emphasize this enough, Shane. It doesn't matter how many times we say it. These are not Cousin Shane's rankings. So do not come to him bitching and moaning about where I got a team ranked. And just throw it all on me. Don't leave him out of it.
Absolutely. It's tough, Mike, because I always forget about the power rankings until I get on Twitters, and then all of a sudden I got, you know, 80, 90 notifications out of the gate, and I'm like, what the hell happened, you know? So I start to look, and I was like, damn, Mike's power ranks are up, so I go ahead, mute that conversation.
All right, buddy, so hey, without further ado, because we're just going to jump into all these teams here, and I like to go in reverse order, of course, Shane. Number 16, no surprise here, Vanderbilt, and man, I didn't even realize that, you know, I was stepping into. I didn't know there was diehard Vanderbilt fans out there anymore, Shane. I thought they had all given up. But if you missed the news, Mississippi State quarterback, used to be Vanderbilt quarterback, Mike Wright, jumping into the portal. I said, hell, had he never left, he'd still be their starting quarterback. By God, the mentions, they're going even more wild than the damn power rankings that I uttered such things. But they're all fired up. They got their quarterback, Diego Pavia from New Mexico State, Shane.
Yeah.
The man has not stepped foot on campus. He's not there for spring, and he's going to be their starting quarterback. I mean, if that doesn't say how bad things are, and that's one of their more certain positions is quarterback. It's a train wreck everywhere else. A list like this is not accurate if you don't have Vanderbilt 16th in your power rankings. You know what?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think there's no question where Vanderbilt was going to be on this one, but I am curious about the Mike Wright situation. So hitting the portal, is he a graduate? Will he be a graduate transfer or assist?
That I don't know, okay. But he's been in college long enough. He should be a damn graduate. Yeah. You know what?
I was just saying, because if he did go back to Vanderbilt, not saying he's going to, but, you know, obviously when you're going SEC to SEC here in the spring, you're going to have to sit out if you're not a graduate transfer. So I'm just kind of curious where he lands, because he's a kid that I feel has talent. You know, it may not necessarily be at quarterback, but he is, I mean, he's very gifted, skill runner, and it just seems like he should find a place, a home somewhere that could utilize how good he is.
And Shane, I apologize. I forgot to mention, as always, there's only one criteria I use for these power rankings. If Team A meets Team B on our neutral field, I'm picking the winner, the team that's higher ranked. So we may get to a situation where I'm already seeing it with, you know, I don't want to spoil the rankings here, but I got Texas higher than Texas A&M. And let's say A&M beats them. Well, that game's in Kyle Field.
Yeah.
So that can affect the rankings. If they met on a neutral field, who am I taking to win the game? Team A or Team B? That's the only criteria. I don't use what happened 20 years ago. I don't even take what happens into account last season, because this is this season.
Right.
So this is a complete unknown. Everybody gets a clean slate. Does that all make sense to you?
Absolutely. So it has nothing to do with schedule, right? Because that's another one I keep seeing popping up.
No, it's got nothing to do with the schedule either, Shane. Shane, they're saying any chance you could turn up your mic a little bit, just a hair on your Rode X there, just clicking a notch or two.
How's that? Coming in, testing one, two.
You sound great to me, brother, but this is Drew here getting on you. But all right, let's get back to the power ranking. Shay, number 15.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a spring game this weekend, so we'll dive into that here. Mississippi State, and I was pretty impressed, Shane. I don't know about you, but the defense came out hot, mm-hmm. which had me a little bit concerned because this is Jeff Levy. We're supposed to be high-flying. We're supposed to be quarterbacks and receivers. Well, buddy, we got that after about the first two, three series because Blake Shapen, our transfer from Baylor, 18 of 22, 312 yards, three touchdowns. Even the backup, Shane, Chris Parsons, 7 of 13, 124 yards, two touchdowns. Shane, we had completions of 60-plus yards.
Mm-hmm.
Four receivers had catches of 40 or more yards. I mean, this is explosive. This is what we thought we were getting with Jeff Lebby. It's that Heupel, Kiffin type offense. Fun football's coming back to Starkville, Mississippi. And again, I got you lower in the rankings because you're playing yourself here. But if nothing else, you're going to be exciting. This is what we've been saying about Mississippi State football. Fun is back.
Yeah.
And I'm here for it.
Absolutely, man. You know, recapping these games last year, I ain't going to lie, that was the one I always put off to the very end. Them and Vanderbilt. It was like, damn, I got it. You know, sometimes Auburn, not going to lie. They fell in that list a few times. But I'm just telling you, it's going to be fun to watch again. And that's what I love about this style of offense. Are you going to win at 12 games? No, you're not. But at least it's going to be entertaining during those 12 matchups. You're not going to be turning it off at half because as soon as you do, there may be two or three scores that you miss.
Right. And a name to know, Shane, that you're going to be unfamiliar with now. Kelly Akari, UTEP transfer. He was so dynamic. We've been hearing great things about him in spring. He showcased that on Saturday in the spring game. Mm-hmm. He's going to be their number one receiver for the entire year. He was a 1,000-yarder at UTEP, but he looks the part. And I think Mississippi State got a great one in Kelly Akari.
Yeah, well, again, there's going to be a lot of new talent emerging at that university. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be all right. New names. But that's not a bad thing, Mike. I think a clean slate is exactly what State needed.
All right, any chance you could turn it up a little bit more, Shay? They're saying a little bit more for you. You might be cranked all the way here. Well, that's...
Boy, I'm up. I am amped right now. How we?
That's too much.
Is that too much? Okay,
I can't handle that much for Shane.
A little too much, Shane, right there. How's that? How's that coming across?
I mean, it sounds lovely to me.
Behind the scenes, we're trying to perfect this thing, and Mike, you know, it used to be simple. It used to be a cell phone, a cigarette, a cold beer, and a gazebo. That's how this show used to be. But now I've got all kinds of equipment floating around me. I may get shocked. You know, I'm afraid to drop a beer because I'm out. That may be the last show that I ever do. There's electronic devices everywhere. But again, we're trying to make it better for y'all. So I hope that works.
Never too much Shane, they're saying in the comments now. So, all right, number 14 in the rankings, Shane, South Carolina Gamecocks, and it was not that they didn't impress over the weekend, or they've looked physically a lot better on the line of scrimmage, in my opinion. And Lenore Sellers certainly looked the part. He looks like a tank out there. Shane scored. You know, we already kind of knew he would be an elite running quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He looked fantastic, I thought, at least for his debut as a starting. Well, technically not starting, but we know he's probably going to be the starter down there in Columbia. But, man, I don't know. Are you buying South Carolina? Should they be a little bit higher?
Yeah, schedule doesn't matter, Mike, but I will say this on a neutral field. I think South Carolina is an intriguing team just because of the weapons that they do have. You know, you mentioned Sellers. He's one of those guys that may just win the damn game for you. You know what I'm saying? He's one of those that just may be the one that takes this team to that next level that they've been close to getting to, but they've just not been able to break through. So, yeah, I'm a little. It's not so much that I hate South Carolina. It's just I have a lot of question marks around that roster, and we still haven't got to see it all together. Is this out of these first three teams, Mike? You got Vanderbilt, State, and South Carolina. Out of those, is there one that you see could end the season in maybe a top seven? You know, could you see that?
Ooh, top seven.
Yeah, or let's just say top eight, at least the top half of the SEC.
I think if there's one, it is going to be South Carolina.
Yeah.
Now, Again, I was wildly impressed with Mississippi State in their spring game. But again, year one, you know, everything's new.
Yeah.
So it's going to look great. This is year four for Beamer and company. And they, you know, they've added like 25-plus transfers. Yeah. So this is going to be a new-look team. The thing I'm a little bit worried with South Carolina, Shane, still on the offensive line of scrimmage here, we had a lot of freshmen playing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we have at receiver. And, again, we love Rocket Sanders. Dynamic 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
We're kind of hoping and praying that he's that guy. Because if he's Rocket Sanders of last year, and I know he got banged up, and Arkansas scheme and offensive line didn't help him. But if he's the guy from last year, we're in real trouble. Because I just don't know if we got enough weapons around Sellers.
Yeah.
To, you know, we're kind of leaning on the defense. And I'd say vast majority of the fan base wanted the defense coordinator fired last year. So that's what we're leaning on. Like, I don't know. It feels uncertain to me.
Yeah, but again, there's just so many new faces and new places. I think there's still a jumbling of that roster that's going to have to continue happen throughout the fall till they find that top 11. But, you know, who knows, brother? This may be one of those teams that figures it out. You know, maybe they scheme around that offensive line with the moving line. You know how they typically do with those moving pockets and stuff. So maybe that's something they kind of cater to. But I just think that you have no idea the game changer a mobile quarterback, a big physical mobile quarterback, can make, you know, in a football game if you get it all together. So that's why for me, it's just Sellers. I'm all in on Goggles right now. And I just think that this is a dude that may be the new face of South Carolina.
Right. Now, here's where I'm going to start to lose you, Shane. And I've already seen it. I've lost a couple people here. Number 13. Auburn Tigers, Shane. Again, I don't like what I'm seeing down there. You know, we're all in on Peyton Thorne. Hey, good luck to you. You know what I mean? I know we've added some playmakers and all that, but again, they're true freshmen. They're gonna look good in spring when they're going up against your own team and everything like that. But let's throw, you know, will they do that week in, week out? Let's hope they do. But, you know, they could look good the first month, but then it gets serious here. And again, the schedule, I think Auburn's going to win some ball games because of this schedule. But that's not what we're doing. We're not trying to project the final record. We're saying if Auburn were to meet, you know, Oklahoma on a neutral field, Missouri on a neutral field, who am I taking to win the ball game? I got Auburn pretty low on that list. Tell me why I'm right.
my only concern is I don't know, there's something about this Auburn team that feels like they've got, Peyton especially has got more weapons, and I know they're young, and we've seen flashes here in the spring, but you know, they didn't have that last year. You know, short of Hunter, there was just no serious game changer out there that we just walked away saying, okay, well, this team's about to figure it out. I'm a little concerned about the Auburn Tigers, but I feel better about this squad than I did last year. And you were extremely high on Auburn last year. I just think that another full offseason, Thorne, you know, now he's not missing any reps. You got to remember, this time last year, we had quarterback controversy with touchdown Robbie and back and forth. This whole fall, this whole summer, we know who QB1's going to be. And I don't know. I have a feeling that Peyton does take a step forward. It may not be a leap, but I do think that it's going to be enough to make them a little bit more relevant in the SEC. And 13, I know you got to have somebody there, but I'm just not willing to put the Auburn Tigers.
Paul says, how many times SEC Mike says he hates Texas and they can't go beat? Have we said that one time? I question Sarkeesian, but I don't know if I've said I hate Texas.
Yeah.
Have I? Probably.
Nah, I don't know. Well, ever? You know, remember, they haven't always been
wait,
the
wait,
SEC.
Before they came to the SEC, sure, I've said it many a time. All right, how about number 12? And this team took a big jump for me, Shane. And Arkansas Razorbacks with Taylen Green, with Bobby Petrino. This looks like a new offense to me. I'm buying in. It's my annual offseason hype of buying into the Arkansas Razorbacks. And I'll be damned, Shane, if I'm wrong again, which I usually am. But, again, I don't know. I'm buying into them. And, again, That trip to Auburn is pretty daunting. That's going to tell us a lot about the Arkansas Razorbacks and the Auburn Tigers. But for right now, Shane.
Yeah.
Hell, give me Taylen Green over Peyton Thorne and some of the weapons that they've got to work with on the offensive side of the football on the Plains. Am I crazy for jumping Arkansas up this list?
Well, I mean, these two teams right here, Arkansas and Auburn, we're gonna know real quick just how bad you were or how right you were. You're saying neutral field, you would favor Arkansas. But let me ask you, it is at the Plains, and I know this has nothing to do with power rankings, but since it is down there, if you were to give an edge to one of these teams, which one would you go with?
Like, give me them Tigers, man. I mean, it's an elite home field advantage. You know what I mean? And I think they'll be undefeated again. But, again, I'm just projecting out several weeks in advance. You know, I reserve the right to change my opinion. But
I'm just trying to figure out how final – because it seems like was it harder for you to put teams at the top of your power ranking or at the bottom?
The bottom was tougher. Because I think – short of Vanderbilt, I think all these teams are going to be competitive this year.
Yeah, okay.
You know, if we get this offense we saw on Saturday at Mississippi State, it's going to be just like Kiffin and Heupel early in their tenures.
Yeah.
Remember when Josh Heupel came in, there was 30 guys jumping the portal. It was not like Tennessee was some elite roster.
Right.
And, yeah, they only won 7 games, but they were fun as hell. Just 7-win game. You know what I mean? They were scoring 40, 50 points.
Oh, I was there,
points.
Mike. I was there.
Right. So, I mean, I think that's what we're going to get from Mississippi State this year. So, this type of offense allows you to compete with teams that have better overall rosters than you if you show up and you're firing on all cylinders that day.
Yeah, I was just curious.
All right, how about – and then I can't remember if I docked this team or I think I did a spot or two. Sorry, Shane. This you ain't going to agree with this one. Number 11, Kentucky Wildcats. Oh. And again, now you're starting to see exactly what you're saying. Like, is it tougher at the bottom? Because you could convince me Kentucky's in the top probably 7 or 8.
Yeah.
You know, if things break right, I could certainly see that. Now, from what little we saw from Brock Vandegrift in the spring, I think he's a legit quarterback, which that changes things big time, Shane. And apologies, I don't have the guy's name memorized, but there was a running back at Louisville.
Yeah.
Who transferred in after being at, I think it was either Bowling Green or Miami of Ohio. He was named that conference player of the year, went to Louisville, and for some reason they're starting another running back over him, so he jumped back in the portal. Sounds like he's going to Kentucky.
Yeah.
So we may add more weapons around Brock Vandegrift. We know what we're getting out of the defense, out of a Mark Stoops team. I think they'll be solid on that side of the ball. Deion Walker, I think he may be the best interior defensive lineman in all the SEC, so – Kentucky's a dangerous, dangerous team. I feel bad for even putting them number 11, but I got to put someone there.
Well, you should, Mike. You should. About to take a shower after listening to this show, Mike. Hey, I think, first off, talk about an ultimate burn, leaving Louisville to come to Kentucky. You know what I'm saying? That all the, who knows? He may be the top three running back in the SEC. I'd love to see that. But I'm the opposite, Mike. You know me. I'm buying into the big blue hype right now. I just think it's the pieces. The weapons that they have now, they can compete offensively, I think, with any team in the SEC. I love that defensive front. I don't know. There's just a part of me that thinks this is the year that Kentucky takes that big step forward, starts like being extremely relevant. I know the schedule's tougher, but I just think that this is the year that Kentucky catches a few of these big dogs that have just notoriously kicked their ass, that catch them off guard. So, I'm all in on Kentucky right now.
Right. And to your point, Shane, we got the schedule up here. The over-under is 6.5 for some reason for the Kentucky Wildcats. Mm. Right now, just what we know about all these teams, Shane: Southern Miss, South Carolina, which is a home game, Ohio, which is a home game, Vanderbilt, Murray State, and Louisville. Give me Kentucky at all of those.
Yeah.
That would be 6 right there. So all you have to do is win one of the following: Georgia at home, at Ole Miss, at Florida, which you own now, Auburn at home, at Tennessee, at Texas.
Yeah.
Again, you're not going to run through all those, obviously, but you just got to win one of them.
Yeah.
If you take care of business. So the over-under for Kentucky's, the over is one of my favorites right now.
Favorite. I love it. I love the over here because, like you said, you just need one. You know there's a handful of games that you're probably going to lose, but even then, it's like you never know. You know, I love Tennessee Vols. I love what Ole Miss is bringing, but I can't without certainty say, I can't just say 100% this team's going to beat that team. So not this far in the offseason.
Right. All right, Shane, number 10. We had another spring game this weekend from them Oklahoma Sooners, Shane. I love seeing the Toby Keith. Rest in peace, Toby Keith.
Yeah.
They had that painted on the field. I hope they continue that for the rest of the season. Jackson Arnold, my God, Shane, he's showcasing some big-time arm that he's got on him. And he showcased his running ability, too. Don't forget, he can run the ball. But first pass, Jackson Arnold, I believe, threw the entire game, Shane, hit Deion Burks for a 64-yard touchdown, the Purdue transfer. This guy's elite, Shane.
Yeah.
He had, let's see, 5 catches, 174 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns, the 64-yarder, a 50-yarder, and there was at one point he would have caught a 69-yard touchdown, mm-hmm. Shane, but the pass was just overthrown. So, man, they got them a good one. And Deion Burks, he's going to be the legit number one for Oklahoma this year, I think.
Yeah, beefing up that offensive line. You know, there's some good stuff going on there in Oklahoma, you know. And rest in peace, Toby Keith. You know, my go-to song, like, you know, you're drunk, you're singing karaoke, was I Love This Bar. That was my jam. So maybe this year at Media Days when we go do the karaoke, that I'll open it up. little Toby Keith down there in Dallas.
Right. And even the true freshman, I've been hearing a lot of good things about the quarterback, Michael Hawkins, Shane. He was in a non-contact, so obviously, you know, like two-hand touch type stuff. Mm-hmm. But he's got elite speed. I mean, I would imagine they're going to find ways to get him on the field. You almost have to with that kind of playmaking that it looks like he's got. And then how about this? We always talk about the offensive line, Shane. Sooners landed a transfer mm-hmm. from SMU over the weekend. Branson Hickman, who on three has rated as the number one interior offensive lineman in the portal. So that's a hell of a pickup. And as long as he lives up to his billing, you got to feel pretty confident. He's probably going to slide into that starting lineup for the Sooners.
Big get, man. Big get. And that's because that's when you talk Oklahoma, that's the first thing that keeps getting brought up. So the fact they're beefing it up, I think that's where your NIL needs to go right now. I know it's not sexy. You want to give it to your quarterback, but, dude, you need some big linemen to block for him.
Right. Well, Shade, and now here's where I caught the most heat. And I've been trying to caution people. This is my list. This ain't Shane's list or – you know, no one else's list, what have you. But people are sleeping on the Florida Gators, Shane, number 9. And yet people are like, oh, no, can they be hiring 15, 14? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm telling you, Florida's going to surprise some people. And here's the problem, Shane. We pull up his schedule, and everybody looks at it, and they say, by God, how are they going to beat half these teams on here? Which I get. But if you get off to a hot start, I think you can really get some momentum. And I mean, I'm not ruling out, Shane, that Florida doesn't win 8 football games this year. Some way, somehow, they'll certainly need some upsets to get to that point. But over 5.5 seems like a near certainty to me. But the only reason I wouldn't bet it, Shane, because if they drop to Miami or A&M, they're probably firing Billy Napier.
Yeah.
So again, I'm talking out both sides of my mouth here, but I think they can win those at home. I think they probably will win those based on everything I know about Florida today. I think they're going to be one of the most improved teams. Their offense was come to – hell, they nearly knocked off Mizzou mm-hmm. at Mizzou last year. They would have beat Florida State had their quarterback not gotten hurt. I'm just telling you, I'm cautioning all you guys that are dancing on Florida's grave. Florida's going to be a hell of a lot better than you think, and they're going to surprise some people this year.
I never thought I'd see the day. Mike saying something positive about them Florida Gators. You need to move back over here, Mike, so I can make sure you're taking your medicine because you're off of it right now. So, hey, man, you got to put them somewhere. I think this is the biggest surprise for me, you know, because, again, I do have a lot of question marks, and I do think that Florida's going to have some bumps in the road. I don't expect them to fix all their problems in one offseason. So
right.
That's why I've got them probably a little lower on this list. But yeah, I mean, I dig it. I'm digging the Florida hop. One of us is wrong, and most likely you.
All right, Shane, how about number 8, Texas A&M? And this is another one, Shane. We just had the spring game. So not a lot of takeaways from this spring game for me, Shane. I did think the defense kind of won the day. Connor Wigman, not his finest performance, but again, he's coming off injury. Not that he looked bad or anything, but I don't know. I just thought the defense kind of, and maybe that's what you expect from a Mike Elko team. You know, you want your defense to lead the way. I thought Le'Veon Moss, running back, he looked tough as hell. He had a nice touchdown. He had one of the longest catches in the first half. Cyrus Allen, Louisiana Tech transfer, he showcased some playmaking ability. But again, not a ton of takeaways from me in this spring game, and that's probably by design. Mm-hmm. But, man, I think A&M is going to have one of the better defensive lines in the SEC, and that'll cure a lot. We've got talent at linebacker, a reworked secondary. So if Mike Elko can figure out how to put those pieces together, and they look like they did all Saturday, A&M's going to be moving up this list pretty quick.
The old milk bet's looking better and better. Every power ranking I see, Mike. I love when doubts start to creep in a little bit, because that's where I'm at, you know, and it's nothing against A&M. I don't hate A&M. You know, I've made a lot of bad bets with Texas A&M, and I think that's a little bit more my problem. I'm just gun-shy right now. So I've got to see it. Can you pull a – oh – come on now.
Yeah, appreciate you, cousin Ray. Got a sound effect just for you. Aggie D will maul Notre Dame. Week 3, offense will be cooking and serves fried gator. Then bring on undefeated Mizzou to Kyle Field. That's how cousin Rick sees it. And hey, he might be right, Shane. Hey. Could be one of the biggest surprises in the country. And again, the fact that the over-under for A&M is 8.5 mm-hmm. with a new coach. I mean, I think that tells you all you need to know about the respect a lot of people have for Mike Elko and the talent that's still on the roster.
I think they want you to take the under. You know what I'm saying? That's what that bet feels like. It's like, damn, there's no way A&M's hitting 9. So, I don't know, brother. I'm trying like hell to not buy into the hype, and I'm not going to right now. But but it is. They look good at spring. There was a lot of flashes out there.
Right. Even UT Parking says, I also think A&M's going to dog walk Notre Dame. So when you got Texas fans saying the same thing.
Yeah, to hell with Notre Dame.
Yeah. All right, Shane, let's go number 7. And this one, oh, man, these fans are feeling themselves. Let me tell you, Shane, number 7. We're in the top half now. LSU Tigers. And I guess, you know, I get it. 110 games, you're feeling good. Brian Kelly. This is the season you've been pointing to. You're going to win it all. I hope you do. Hell, I predicted you're going to win the SEC last year, and I was dead ass wrong here. So maybe I was just a year early here, Shane. But I don't know. I just don't see how you can replace the Heisman Trophy winner, 2 possible first-round receivers, and your entire defensive staff. We've upgraded, but just because you upgraded your staff doesn't mean you automatically all your players are going to get better. So I think defense will still be somewhat of a concern. And right now, I got big questions about LSU.
Well, you shouldn't, Mike, because you know why? It was just a spring game. So I thought I saw what I needed to see with LSU. I'm becoming more confident that Brian Kelly is going to do, like, when you pull up his schedule, what you're saying is neutral field. You've got several teams ahead of LSU here. I'm not seeing one on here talking neutral field. They meet every single one of these teams right now on a mm-hmm. neutral field. The only one, it sounds like you got Ole Miss, you got Bama ahead of them. Mm-hmm. That's the only two. That's 10 wins. I'm still thinking right now, if you meet Alabama, November 9th, neutral field, I'm still going to I'm gonna favor LSU right now. I just have more confidence.
Well, it's because you hate Bama.
That's not true. It's just right now. Now, that may change, you know, 3-4 games, and that's why I want to stress that your power rankings do change every week, you know, when you see these teams. But at this moment, I have more confidence in Brian Kelly's LSU than I do DeBoer's Alabama.
How about this take from Bobby G? Cousin Bobby says LSU will be 11-1, but lose to Arkansas. I love, little games like that. I love it, you know? All right, Shane. Now, I don't know how you go feel about this one, but you might love it. Tennessee, yes. Number six, Shane. Again, in the top six, you got to remember there's 16 teams in this thing now. It ain't the old 12 or 14 SEC. This is a 16-team league now. But Tennessee, again, the spring game was nothing inspiring, but love what I'm hearing about the team behind the scenes. Line of scrimmage should be some of the best on both sides, particularly defensive line. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, we kind of say the same thing over and over and over, but as long as Nico lives up to the hype, Tennessee is going to be competing for a college football playoff spot. And who knows, Shane? This could be the best team yet under Josh Heupel. And I think overall talent-wise, with guys like James Pierce and Amari Thomas and on and on and on, I mean, I think this is the best overall roster that Heupel's going to have to work with.
Mm-mm-mm. You only got them six. Ain't that something, Mike? I'm surprised there ain't more bookmarks on this tweet. You know what I'm saying? I do think Tennessee's obviously top half of the power rankings, as it should be. Six? I'm not going to argue with that. That 5-6, that's about where I'd have them anyway. But yeah, again, we're going to have some dudes. Nico, I don't think we got to see 100% of him in the spring. I think that was by design. When he's cut loose, I think this is a different Tennessee Vol team.
Yeah. Cousin Michael, he says Tennessee should be favored in 11 games.
Come on now.
This, are you buying that, Shane? I'm going to throw up a schedule again. I mean, obviously, at Georgia, that's probably the outlier that he's referring to. So basically, every other game, at Oklahoma, mm-hmm. Florida at home, Bama at home, at Arkansas, I'm stretching here, NC State and Charlotte. I mean, you favoring them for all these games, you think?
I think the Bama one's obviously going to be the one that people are going to point at. You can mm-hmm. maybe even argue Oklahoma, depending on how they started their season and how right. Tennessee got past Charlotte. But, yeah, I think there's a real shot that they're at least favored in 10 of them. That Bama game is – you know,
he's buying in once again, isn't he?
I'm all in, man.
All right, top five now, Shane. And again, I know you hate this team, but I'm starting to come around to him, Shane. Alabama, number five. Well, a lot of people got them in the top three even, so I wouldn't bicker. Again, the top is very difficult to manage here, but Kalen DeBoer, love what I saw from the quarterback Jalen Milroe in the spring game, and they just added a kicker, Shane. Lou Groza, award-winning kicker. Graham Nicholson, Shane, he 27 of 28. So that's another check we got there. We got our kicking issues resolved. And I do think this is going to be a hungry team, Shane, that's out to prove that it wasn't just Nick Saban working his magic and that these players are elite. He left an elite roster. I know they lost some guys via the transfer portal, but I anticipate that Alabama's competing for the SEC title all season long as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you on this one. Did the power rankings, how much did that change during the spring game? Did you move Bama up or down after watching that one?
Not necessarily the spring game, but just everything I heard all spring.
I got you.
It's kind of went into all these rankings, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's not that Bama guy floating around on every social media, humping the elephants down there.
I mean, he played a part in it. I mean, the fact that I was thinking Nick Saban would never allow this damn man to come in here and talk to his team. We're losing him, you know?
Oh, God. What's his slogan? I don't even know. But what does he say all the time?
I just know the face. Oh, okay, I don't know anything about to hell with everybody, blah, blah, blah. You know that guy. All right, number four, Shane. Missouri Tigers. Come on now. Or should I just go on the Missouri schedule here? Because that's what a lot of people say. Oh, my God, you're putting them up there because of schedule. No, this team won 11 games last year. Bring back damn near everybody on the offensive side of the football, short of their – of course, their outstanding running back, Cody Schrader, but they added via the transfer portal multiple players to make up for his lost production. And I truly think, Shane, I mean, you give me anybody I mentioned, Alabama, Tennessee, LSU, Texas A&M, Florida, you put these teams on a neutral field, mm-hmm. I'm favoring Missouri to beat them all Tell me I'm right.
You are right. You are right, Mike. And I think that's it. They pick out one or two pieces that aren't returning, and they're saying, well, Mizzou's out. Look at the schedule. That's the only reason they're going to be good. No, they're a dangerous squad, and you don't want to face them. You don't want to play them. And if you do, it's going to be – if you are part of that top half of the SEC, get ready for some damn showdowns because they're going to be bringing it.
Right. And an important thing to remember, Shane – year two of offensive coordinator Kirby Moore, mm-hmm. and year two of our man Lett Brady Cook starting as a quarterback, and he was outstanding last year, but it's generally year two when these guys take off. Think Jaden Daniels, Hendon Hooker, you know, on and on and on. Yeah. I mean, it's usually the second year where these guys really take off and take their game to another level, and if Brady does that, he's going to do exactly what we're saying and take Missouri to at least another 10-win season.
At least. Absolutely. Hell, 11-win. You know what I'm saying? This is going to be a dangerous team, and it's going to be one they talk about all year long. So I expect them to stay toward the top of your power rankings.
Right. And the team I hate the most in all the country, Shane, but I put them number three in the power. Like, what? I don't understand any of that. But Texas Longhorns, or should we call them the Texas Arches here? Because my goodness, Shane, do you see Arch, man? I even had people on Twitter say, oh, Shane was right. You see old Arch? And then that same guy said, well, hell, I didn't watch a game. But, yeah, Arch Manning, 355 yards, three touchdowns. Should have been four touchdowns, Shane. Isaiah Bond dropped one. He completed his first 11 passes. I mean, he was on fire.
Crown him.
And what did Quinn Ewers do? He threw a pick six. So quarterback competition down here in Austin. I'm just saying this is what's going to divide this locker room, Shane. This is what's going to careen Texas to where they think they're going to win 10, 11 games, and they're going to end up winning seven because they got midseason, you know, after they lose to Oklahoma going into this Georgia game, they're going to demand Arch as a starting quarterback, and that's when it really goes down.
Yeah, it's the quarterback controversy you don't want, Mike. And that's one thing, you know, everybody outside of Texas knows Arch Manning. I think if you were to poll everybody, all the fans of the SEC, most of them would think that Arch Manning is the quarterback for that university. It's just, but I have faith in yours. And so does Texas fans. They got a great quarterback, a guy that's going to be playing on Sundays just like Arch Manning is. But, buddy, one bad loss, like you said, whether it be in Oklahoma or hell, Michigan week two, you better believe the rumor mill is cranking and they want to see Arch out there a little more than he's supposed to be.
Well, it's not often, Shay, where the head coach, like Sark, came out here and he had to tout what Quinn Ewers has done and their belief in Quinn Ewers after a spring game. Rarely you don't have to do that. So that's the bad of getting an Arch Manning. You know, when he takes over and he dominates the SEC, that's the good.
Don't it feel kind of like Jalen and Tua, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and then you got Saban. You remember how damn pissed Saban was every time he got asked about quarterback controversy? It just kind of feels like there's a little bit of that going on in the background.
Yep. All right, Shane. So now we're at number two here. Them Ole Miss Rebels, Shane. Red hot Ole Miss. We added a couple of transfers over the weekend. Portal King never stops here. Miami running back Henry Parrish, who, of course, started at Ole Miss, Shane. He's back, 625 rushing yards, six touchdowns last season for the Hurricanes. And a New Mexico running back, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, rushed for over 1,100 yards, over 6 yards per carry, 17 touchdowns. My word, Shane. So we are adding running backs. We're adding more depth to the roster down in Oxford. There's a reason, and people are not putting two and two together, Shane. Lane Kiffin wanted to show you nothing in the spring. That's why they did all the hoopla and the slam dunks and the hot dogs. Look at this, look at that. But you know what we didn't see? We didn't get to see the line of scrimmage, Shane, where they're adding Princely from Florida, who's their leading pass rusher. Walter Nolan from A&M, the five-star. Washington offensive line, two Washington linemen from the offensive line that won the offensive line award. Adding all these pieces to be better on the line of scrimmage, but he don't want anybody to see that. They did a nice little flag football, save it all, save it, Shane.
Buddy,
you know what?
There's
no lineman out there. So, hey, he's keeping it under wraps, what he's got down there, but I'm telling you, buddy. Ole Miss, they're not a playoff contender. They're a national championship contender.
I think it's very smart. I mean, I try telling you this. I think a lot of it, too, has to do with the roster he currently has, you know. Get through this next portal, and then you don't have to worry about him transferring out because they're second team. He's quietly not just built a deep team. Not just it's not just a couple of stars that you pull up in the transfer portal. And I love, you know, when spring was coming up, you heard him out here, you know, I hate the portal. It's just like free agency, but I'm going after running backs. And he gets two of them, you know. It's like whatever, Lane, get out of here.
And one of them, again, who's been there, who knows the system, will fit seamlessly right in there. And the reason they did that, Shane, is because they landed the running back from LSU. And unfortunately, he got banged up, you know, at the tail end of his LSU career. So he may not be ready to go till late in the season. Mm-hmm. Oh, right when the playoffs start, they're going to get even better. You know, added depth at the running back position. Yep. So I'm telling y'all, people in the comments are saying, my God, well, Vegas wouldn't favor Ole Miss over Texas. Well, that's not what this is. This is, I've taken Ole Miss to beat Texas on a neutral field. And by God, call me foolish, but I am kind of
they will. They will. They are.
All right. Then last but not least, no drama here, of course, Georgia. Number one, Shane, and same thing I was saying about Brady Cook. We have to apply that to Carson Beck. Second year as the starting quarterback. Second year for Mike Bobo, even though he had been there previously and he was instrumental in what they were doing. But, just that extra level of comfort. Yep. They have absolutely surrounded Carson Beck with all kinds of weapons. Mm-hmm. They're going to have an elite offensive line. And, oh, yeah, they just added Trevor Etienne just for – now, he may be suspended for a game, but they're going to have when they really need him, when the season gets going here. I think Georgia is going to be even better on offense. And I don't know. I know their run defense was not elite last year, but they're always going to be elite on the defensive side of the ball as long as Kirby Smart's down there. So no worries there. Hands down, they always have a top three defense in the SEC. It's mm-hmm. just whether they have the best or not.
Well, let me see that schedule real quick. Georgia Bulldogs there. I'm trying to figure out when ETN's going to. Oh, September 7th. All right. He'll say the first home game, you know? Oh, man. No, I'm with you here, brother. And I think the spring just kind of solidified that. You know, I don't think it was the best showing, if you will. It was a little slow, a little sluggish there. But, again, you're talking about some dudes going against some dudes. The iron sharpening iron there. Defense is going to have a little bit of a head start on them. But this is a team that I'm looking forward to. We talked about Mississippi State earlier. We talked about Ole Miss and Tennessee Vols. But I think Georgia is a team that you're going to see a lot more offense this coming up season, because I think that's what left them out of the college football playoffs, to be honest. It's just less blowouts. More blowouts is what we expected to see, and we didn't get those. So I think they're going to lean hard on Beck, you know, make this a Heisman run.
Right. All right, Shane, real quick here. Again, I'll run down my list real quick. Georgia number one, of course. I got Ole Miss number two, Texas number three, Mizzou number four, Alabama 5, Tennessee 6, LSU 7, A&M 8, Florida 9, 10, Oklahoma, 11, Kentucky, 12, Arkansas, 13, Auburn, 14, South Carolina, Mississippi State 15, and Vanderbilt 16. Which ones am I the most wrong about, according to Cousin Shane?
LSU. I think you're most wrong about LSU. I think they should be higher up on this list.
So that means we're moving the Vols down, right? We got to move someone down.
I've got a lot of confidence. Brian Kelly, I don't think the offense takes as big of a step back as everyone thinks. I like Nussmeier. I think he's a hell of a quarterback. And they've got weapons. Weapons emerge at LSU. They're loaded. They got a ton of talent. And the other one was Kentucky. I think Kentucky, you're a little too low on them. I'm buying into that hype. I'm probably way wrong on that. But yeah, those are my two teams.
How you feel about A&M, that's how I feel about Kentucky. Hey, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me eight times, Shame on you. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. I know. I can't help it. I don't know. Maybe it's all this bourbon behind me, and it's just I'm feeling bad for him, you know. I got to make them sound good so that I can keep doing these bourbon bets, you know. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, buddy. So 45 minutes here. Anything else before we hop off the line?
No, I appreciate everybody hanging out with us. Again, if you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel, that means a lot. As soon as the comments comes down, this will load. So we'll go back to YouTube. If you hit us a thumbs up, again, I can't say it enough, but I've noticed more and more folks doing that. Really does help us out. Gets a lot more of our content out there. And just keep your ears down. We've had Peter Burns on this weekend. I thought that was an awesome interview. If you haven't checked that out, be sure to get on there. I appreciate his time coming in there and hanging out with us. We got some more coming, so yep. Make sure you got those notifications on, because as soon as Mike uploads a video, you'll be notified.
Absolutely. Yeah. Go check out the Peter Burns interview. That was a great one. A little bit shorter than the other ones, but that was
busy
just,
guy. Busy guy.
Super busy guy. So we were lucky just to get him in here. So we'd really like it if you guys would like that video, comment under it, do all that jazz. But we really do appreciate each and every one of you. That's why we keep showing up during it's freaking May or April 22nd here, Shane, and we're doing SEC content. You know what?
I love it. And spring's down, so those extra interviews are really going to come in handy. So we're going to try to keep it entertaining for y'all and every day, content every day.
Yep. All right. All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate
you. That's all the content today, you know?
Appreciate you, buddy. I appreciate each and every one of you, and we will catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols. That was smooth.
'Buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.